Ladies and gentlemen, we present the Navy Lark with our three stars, John Pertwee, Leslie Phillips, and Stephen Murray. Yes, it's almost time for the crew of HMS Troubridge to go on leave. So if any of their relatives are listening, you've been warned. Lock your doors and stand by to repel boarders. Well, not so much boarders as non-paying guests. Oh, yes. Getting better every week. I wonder if they'd give me a worker's playtime. Now, where were we? Oh, yes. The lads have still one duty to perform, as Captain Povey is about to explain to them.
Now then, are there any questions so far, gentlemen?
Yes, there is just one, sir. How much do we get for it?
Oh, I should think about...
How much do you get for it? Pertwee, this is a great honor.
You will have to forgive him, sir. Honor is a thing Pertwees aren't all that mad about.
No, it's only LSD that gets them going.
You're just not treating this matter seriously at all. Having the ship adopted by a town is a great honor.
Oh, we appreciate that, sir, but to tell you the truth, we didn't even know that there was a town called Troutbridge.
Well, it's not exactly a town, you know. It's a village in Somerset.
But what exactly does being adopted by this place mean?
Well, for a start, it don't mean that you call his worship the mayor mother.
I'll bet 6 to 4 he does.
It means, Mr. Phillips, that there will be a great deal of interest between the ship, Troutbridge, and this village of the same name. Mm. They'll probably send you company.
Oh.
Organize coach parties to make visits between the ship and the village.
Oh, nice.
Mail you copies of the local paper every week.
Oh,
and so on.
Charming.
Mm. Well, I must say, all that sounds a bit depraved to me.
I don't care what it sounds like to you. It's happened.
When is the actual ceremony to take place, sir?
On Friday afternoon aboard Troutbridge.
All this provided you fools haven't managed to sink her by then.
Well, you know how it is, sir. These little accidents will happen.
Yes, well, they'd better not this time. Because apart from the ceremony in which the mayor will make a speech adopting the ship, there's also to be a ship's concert in the evening. You can organize that, Chief.
Oh, you're right out with pleasure, sir. I know just the thing for the lad.
Yes, I'm sure you do. But the mayor and mayoress will be present, and 64 verses of Eskimo Nell won't do for them.
Oh, well, I will. All right, in that case, sir, I very much doubt if I can help.
Before you reach any hasty decisions about not being able to cope, I ought to point out that there is a prize being offered for the best term in the concert.
Ah. Well, what sort of a prize, sir?
Money, Pertwee. Money.
You leave it to me, sir. It'll be a pleasure to no trouble at all, sir. Anything to oblige. All part of an humble man's loose duty, sir. Only too willing, sir. Just you rely on me. On me, sir. I'll get sleeping away. Take everything I will, sir. If I can't help to brighten the undone lives of one fellow serviceman, it's a poor do. Yes, indeed, a poor do never let it be safe. For a Pertwee, to drag them in consideration if it's you. Never let it be safe. There's a need for the gallant band of lads. The gallant band of lads to go to make up this fine body. And a fine ship coming in here, the Lord knows what it says. What do you wish to meet? Never in the field.
All right. Amazing.
Incidentally, sir, who is the mayor of this village called Troutbridge?
Yes, I was afraid you'd ask that. It's the reason they're adopting the ship, I suppose. It's Sir Willoughby Tudhunter Brown.
I say, he gets around, doesn't he?
Well, let's put it this way. He never seems to last anywhere very long.
No, Sir Wibbly Buntly Diddly, Sir Wibbly Diddly Buntly Diddly. The mayor is a man who has devoted his life to public service.
Yes, we all know what Lady Wibbly Wobbly Doddly Doodry is. We know what she's devoted her life to. Gin by the bucketful.
Nonsense. The very idea.
Excuse me, sir. A letter from Sir Willoughby saying they'll arrive at the dockyard a few minutes after 3.
Oh, Judy, look, love. While you're here, about the concert after the ceremony course. I'm in charge of the concert, you see. So if you care to volunteer for the balloon dance, we've got a few spare ones in the stalls that have only got a slew puncture in them, so I'd be very happy.
Sir, once and for all, it is not to be that sort of concert.
With 120 Macklows about, it'll never do if it isn't, sir.
Well, that's a risk we shall have to take. Talking of a concert, gentlemen, I forgot to mention that my dear wife Ramona and I will be entering.
You are, sir?
Yes.
Do you mean that she's going to recite behind a few dead, dodgy, half-blown...
Don't see something wonderful! Apart from anything else, they don't make balloons big enough for... Well, get back to your ship and make her ready, gentlemen. I must get home early, for tonight is practice time at the piano for Ramona and me. You'll be surprised at the result on Friday.
That I wouldn't doubt for a moment.
Hello, Pervin.
Yes, my love.
You know perfectly well you are not allowed to put your great maulers on my dear mother's piano forte without getting Ramona's permission in writing first.
Well, you did agree to enter the concert with me, my love. I was just warming up my digits.
Don't be disgusted. If your hands are cold, you may have your Tuesday treat early. Permission to bash carpets in the garden.
No, my love. I wanted to be sure I could play the piano well enough to accompany you when we sing together.
Oh, I see. Well, we'd better practice, I suppose. Now, I've been giving this matter a great deal of thought, and I've decided we're going to sing Big Horn. Have you got the music, then?
Yes, ma'am.
Good boy. Now, play on.
Yes, my love.
That was not the slightest bit funny. Play it properly. We'll have none of your Texas M. Preeny nonsense this time.
Very well, my love.
And this is supposed to be a duet we're doing. So the Ramona has marked up the words for Henry to sing, and we'll have no extra do-do-do's slung in for good measure either.
I'll remember, my love.
You better. Right. Now, play on and come out singing. Because you come to me with naught at all and held my hand and lift mine eyes above, avoid the world of heaven, boy, I see. Would be to me an act of sweet. My mind on earth is waking round my feet, and I am led to heaven to sleep.
I could have got better in Austin.
Can we do it again, my love?
Perhaps we better. Ramona's voice is in cracking form, but we can't take any chances. Now, we must win this competition, Henry, so let's have bags of concentration.
Rather, my love. Can I wear my evening dress suit to the concert?
Well, I suppose you better. If all else fails, you might get a prize as a piano-playing penguin. Remind Ramona to cut out a new cardboard dicky from the cornflake box on Thursday.
Oh, thank you, my love.
And this time, remember to wear it with a plain side showing. Last time, you trotted about the place with store in a cool place and plastic noddy card inside written all over your chest. Jolly humiliating.
It certainly was. Somebody came up, undid my waistcoat, and tore off my free coupon.
Well, watch it this time. Let it be off, then. Go! You speak to me in accents sweet. I find the road is walking wrong. I mean, waking wrong. My baby has to hand me. Wait, just a minute. Stop! Hello, baby, don't you dare do that again.
But it was you, my love. You've got a bar behind.
I'm what? Absolute nonsense. I know exactly what happened. You dropped your semi-quaver bang smack in the middle of my crotch.
But I...
And you had your great hoof on the loud pedal. Now start again. Oh, you speak to me in accent.
Right, now let's try it again. And this time, try and remember the blaming word.
I'm not happy.
Look, who cares whether you're happy or not? Now then, start chatting.
You're rotten, you are. Ladies and gentlemen, a little recitation.
That's it.
It's a funny old world we live in, to the north of Kathmandu. When I say, how's your father? And he says, how are you? Up in the attic, there's an old man, playing the tune that's true. When I say, how's your father? He says...
I just got here.
No, you haven't, Chief. You've been here for ages. You've been rehearsing this stuff Mr. Murray wrote for the concert, and you... Why are you looking at me like that?
I'm just wondering which pudgy portion of your posterior I'm going to clobber first. Look, I know I've been here for ages, you nautical nit. AC, that's my line. AC. I'm supposed to say that, you see.
Well, I only learnt my bit, you see. I didn't read your bit.
Well, why not?
Well, I thought it might have been private.
Isn't it, Marv? Look, how can you chat me funny questions if you don't know what funny answers I'm going to chat you?
Well, I'm not happy. And I don't think the ladies and gents we'll be chatting will be happy either. Here, couldn't we do something else, Chief? Tell you what, I could do the balloon dance you were on about.
Stone me, that'd be coals to Newcastle, if you like. Nobody'd be able to tell which was you and which was the balloon. Now look back, though. Now try again. And look, and as soon as I say, hey, Jay, you speak your beat. And I'll prove you're not here.
Morning, Chief. How's the rehearsal going?
It's not, sir. Daggy body here can't remember his flaming line.
Yes, Johnson, I can't help feeling that you're not really trying.
Well, I can't help it. You know, I'm not cut out for this sort of thing. I joined the Navy to hear a lot of funny stories, not tell them. Anyhow, I'm shy.
You what?
I'm shy.
That's it, that is. That's all I needed. Loads of lovely lolly floating about and you get stage fright.
That's all right, Chief. I think the best thing we can do is to give him a couple of pep pills just before we go on. To give him confidence.
Mr. Phillips has got some, so you can have one of them.
What's a good idea, sir. Although I should have thought that Mr. Phillips was the last person who would have needed them.
Well, I gather he's had them ever since the day he took his final exams at Dartmouth.
Blimey, if he got through them, then it's worked something marvellous.
Well, not exactly. He took a pill out of the wrong box. And that turned out to be a sleeping pill instead.
Oh, well, that's it then. One pep pill for Fatso coming up the night of the show.
I'm not convinced. I don't want it, and I'm not happy.
You know, sir, with all due respect to your script, I reckon I'd stand a lot better chance of winning if I went on and told him a couple of stories. I know a new one about the farmer's daughter and a commercial traveller way out into the country. Well, you see, he nips out the back way and he finds her twin sister locked to the doorway.
Definitely no then.
Excuse me, sir.
Yes, certainly. Nice to have heard from you. Good morning. Now, Chief, what about the big finish to your act?
Well, sir, what I thought was...
I say!
What is it, my man? What is it? Can't you see? Can't you see I'm giving these good people a recitation? Be off with you. There's a little yellow idol to the north of Kathmandu. He raised his act politely, then said, to you. Well, I'm sorry, pardon, but as soon as anyone says, I say, I start doing my little piece, you see.
Well, possibly. Only this time, it's the wrong little piece that said it.
Yes, quite. What is it, Judy?
Captain Povey said, would you come to his office now, sir, to arrange about the reception of the Todd Hunter Browns tomorrow?
Oh, very well.
Darling, this time, for goodness sake, concentrate on what we're supposed to be doing.
Oh, I'd much rather concentrate on something we're not supposed to be.
Very likely. But winning that money would be jolly useful for our bottom drawer. It was very kind of Captain Povey to let us have the Naffy piano over here in the office. And the least we can do is to make use of it.
I don't think he had it sent over for our benefit at all. He and Mrs. Thunderguts are entering too, you know. I think she told him to practice on it at lunchtime while he eats his peanut butter sandwich.
Now, don't be uncharitable. Mind you, if he thinks there's nobody about, he does nip out and bash out a couple of quick choruses of the Young Ones.
Oh, nasty. Let's try our song again, shall we?
All right, darling. Now, I'll play, and this time, think what you're doing.
Oh, yes, darling, yes.
Sweetheart, sweetheart, sweetheart. Will you love me, heaven?
Will you remember this day
when we were happy in May?
Leslie, what's the matter?
Oh, nothing. I was just remembering what we were doing that day in May.
Oh, well. I'm not standing for any more.
And that's what you said then as well.
Well, did I?
Don't be silly, darling. Give Leslie Kins a kiss.
Certainly not.
Oh, go on.
No.
Oh, go on. Just a tiny one.
Well?
Just a tiny little plonker.
Well, just a...
What the blazes do you think you two are playing at?
Nuts in May. hello, sweetheart.
No, we were rehearsing, sir.
Well, I should hate to know what for. Now, is number one here yet?
No, sir. I sent Ren Cornwall over to the ship to fetch him.
Oh, well, never mind. This fool will do.
Oh, thanks, sir. That's jolly kind.
It's about the adoption ceremony tomorrow. Tell Lieutenant Murray that apart from the Todd Hunter Browns coming here, Admiralty are to be represented by the Admiral and Rear Admiral Army.
Oh, lovely.
Precisely. They are also judging the concert afterwards. So it had better be good. Right, off you go and tell number one.
Aye, aye, sir.
And you'd better go with him, Ren Chasen, because he's bound to have forgotten what I said for the time he gets there.
I've forgotten now.
Yeah. Take the fool away from the city's sake.
Aye, aye, sir. This way, sweetheart.
Okay, just time for a quick dump, maybe. One, two, three.
The
young ones. They call us the young ones.
Well, gentlemen, the adoption ceremony certainly seems to go off jolly well.
Well, I don't like it, sir. I reckon there's a catch in it somewhere.
Well, cheer up, Chief. Is everything ready for the concert, by the way?
Yes, not exactly. You better start soon, because Mr. Phillips gave me a pep pill to give back, though. And he had it about a quarter of an hour ago. If he has to wait much longer, we'll probably have to chain him down.
Well, that, Chief, it looks as if Sir Wibbley, Donnelly...
His worship, the man.
Yeah, thank you. It looks as if he's going to start his opening speech.
Oh, glory.
Thank you for that tremendous. But let us start at the beginning. Without a full order book, where would the winds of change blow themselves out? Down a blind turning and into the common market? No, my friends. This is no time. And another thing. Building for the future is no way to exchange luncheon vouchers at the cash desk on your way out. What is needed today, and that goes for my dear wife as well. Can it be? And who's to say it isn't, with 14 orbits and 39 not out to his credit? There are, of course, two sides to this question. And I for one. So who is the other one for tennis? Give generously, my friends, and send your donations and your wives to me in a plain envelope. Dash on with the concert, then. That's me lot. And in conclusion, may I remind you that the horse is still man's best. So don't try and end up in the cart before it. Good night.
Right, gentlemen, after that stirring call for something or other, let's get the show started before he comes back with a 25-minute PS.
Now, off you go, Pert. We announce the first item.
Right, just go. Just... Thank you very much, and I'll see that rated in the fourth row tomorrow. Your worship, ladies and gentlemen all, we start the entertainment tonight. The Dirty Great Dollop of Culture. May present for the first time in a new ring. On my right, the HMS for Outbridge's Ship Choir. Right, mate. Come along, my lad. Off you go laughing. And lash out to moderate with a miracle.
How many more verses are they going to sing? Sounds like Peter Brough and Archie Andrews.
They're agreed, sir. But I reckon the Thunderguts got a bigger laugh than Fatso and I are going to get when his cardboard dickie whizzed up in his butt.
Yes. It didn't half go, didn't it? I mean, how he can stand there singing a ballad with working model Yours for Sixpence written on him, I don't know.
Well, what's on next, Chief?
Fatso and me, sir. Oh, where is it? Oh, blimey, look! Oh, sleep!
But he can't be. I gave him a pep pill. He ought to be bounding about full. Oh, lummy.
Mr. Phillips, sir, please. You haven't.
I'm afraid I have, Chief. He's had a sleeping pill.
Oh, but we must wake him up. The audience is waiting.
Fatso! Wake up! Fatso! Oi! Fatso!
Go away. I'm having a kip. And for once, I'm happy.
Now, you're not, Fatso. You're not. Wake up.
Huh?
We're on.
What?
I'm lost.
No good, Chief. Get on and do the song instead.
Right, I'll have his guts for garters in the morning as well. which reminds us, ladies and gentlemen, of a little song to all now. Here we go, 32, 33. When you're the old world with you, wake up. When you're the sun comes through, and when you bring on the rain, say stop your.
I'm not happy again.
Who cares if you're happy?
They keep on. Cause when you're the old world with you.
Good night, Keith.
Good night, Chief. See you in the morning.
Not if you're smart, you won't. Take them away, somebody.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that concludes the concert, ladies and gentlemen. And I have a very great pleasure in introducing the two judges who will announce the winners. A big hand, please, for our Admiral and Rear Admiral Armbridge.
Oh, do get out of the way, Armbridge, you old fool.
Yes, that's me. Yes. Certainly. Yes, of course. Yes. What was that?
Good evening, Your Admiralship. I realize that Johnson and I can't have won, but perhaps you'll tell us who has.
Yes. By all means, yes. Certainly. Yes.
Oh, shut up, Nettle Chops. I'll tell them who won. We did.
And the very fair, eh? You did. But you weren't in the competition, sir.
No. But we are now. Yes.
Yeah. Give us the ones that are on the join us, somebody. Capital. Here we go, then. We've been together now for 40.
50?
No, 40. And it don't.
No, it don't.
Seem a day.
Not a day.
Too much. Up for the rain.
No, ain't. No, isn't. No, ain't. No.
Oh, shut up. There ain't an admiral living in the land.
Oh, no. Plenty in the water, but not on the land. That.
As I'd swap for me, dear old. Mate.
No!
Oh, there ain't an admiral living in the land. As we stop for our dear old mate. And
I messed up our chances of winning last night, Chief.
That's all right, Fatso. That's all right. It wasn't your fault. Well, with that admiralship knocking off the prize, we wouldn't have had a chance anyway.
Yeah, that's true. Still, at least we've all got leave.
Yep, that's right. You're going back to your mum Ming's by train, I suppose.
Yeah, that's right. Are you going by train?
No. Uncle Ebenezer's lending me a car. At a price, of course.
Yeah, I'll bet. Well, I best be going or I'll miss my train.
Yeah. Ah, well. I go this way. See you again when we get back, eh?
Of course. You won't forget to write, will you?
No. I'll drop you a line or two just to let you know where I am.
So. You won't forget to put a stamp on the envelope either, will you?
Johnson, you'd always kick in the coast, not.
Yeah.
Mind you, if the rain happens to wash it off again before it reaches, it won't be my fault. Oh, well, that's it, ain't it? Well, turn off, that's out.
So long, Chief.
Take care of your great, big, fat, chubby self, mate.
Cheerio.
Cheerio.
Thank you.
And that was John Pertwee, Leslie Phillips, and Stephen Murray working their passage in the last of the current series of The Navy Lark, written by Laurie Wyman. John Pertwee was the chief petty officer, Leslie Phillips was the sub-lieutenant, Stephen Murray was the number one, Captain Povey was played by Richard Caldicott, Mrs. Povey was Heather Chasen, Able Seaman Johnson was Ronnie Barker, Judy was Judy Cornwell, the Admiral was Tenniel Evans, and Rear Admiral Ironbridge was played by Michael Bates. Incidental music for the series was by Tommy Riley and James Moody. Music when we didn't want music to sound like music, played by Eddie Braden. Announcer Robin Boyle, and the recorded production was by Alastair Scott Johnston.